Hi, this is Ann Glover, Homeless Engagement Coordinator for the Dallas Public Library. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please keep in mind that these are voices of our community, not necessarily the voices of the Dallas Public Library. We are here to support and get all the information we can so everyone can be well informed of what's happening in our community. Good morning, Chris. Thank you for being part of our podcast today.
Thank you guys for having me.
So I want to talk to you today about staying in shelter, and I also want to talk to you about your experience staying outside, if you ever had. So can you tell me about those two events?
I have been homeless on and off. It'll be 4 years right around now, 4 years this summer. Like I said, when I say on and off, it has been on and off. Like from time to time, I have places to stay, but because I feel like my mission right now, I just have to endure whatever. I currently am staying outside. I'm sleeping outside. And the reason why is because a couple of reasons. I don't really think that the shelter life is really for me. Now, I will say this, that out of all the shelters that we have in Dallas, I would prefer Dallas life. But the thing is that it's a pay-to-stay place, $12 a night. You know, when you add that up, you know, it's $360 a month. And I'm like, well, hey, you know, there's rooms that rent for like $400. You know, why would I stay in a shelter? The point is that I just don't think that the shelters is very good for me, because from my perspective, as somebody that is an entrepreneur and as somebody that prides itself on being able to create opportunities for myself at any time, that I don't think that they accommodate somebody who's looking to create their own opportunities, because you have to be in at a certain time, even if they understand that you might have a job that you get off late at night. I've seen people at the Bridge, the Salvation Army, go to work at noon or 10 a.m. and then get off late. And because of miscommunication with the shelter, they're not allowed to, you know, get back in, or they get kicked out for whatever reason. There's another thing where I was working a job, Deep Ellum, a couple times actually. You get off at like 2, 3 a.m. Of course, you have to, you know, stay behind and clean. You don't get off until about 3 or 4 a.m. And at the Bridge, you can't really get any sleep because the lights are on at 5 or 6. So now, like, you're ineffective because you have shelter, but you're not getting enough sleep. My thing is about sleeping on the streets is that not everybody can do it. You know, it's not something that women could do. I wouldn't recommend that by any means. And you know, and I wouldn't recommend it for people who didn't grow up in an urban environment either. Like, just not dealing with the people. The thing about that is that I am completely unstable. I'm not able to have a set routine. Because I might only get 4 hours of sleep. Sometimes I might get 7 or 8 hours. But the point is that not having that set routine or that set schedule, or even just finding somewhere where I'm going to get sleep and be undisturbed is quite an issue.
Where do you normally go? Where do you find sleep at? How do you say, this is where I'm going to sleep at tonight? This is where I'm going to sleep at tomorrow night. How do you make that decision?
Yeah, with me personally, I just like to go places where, you know, there's plenty of lighting. I think that the last couple of weeks I've been sleeping at the train station downtown, and it's plenty of lighting, and you can just hop on the train and do whatever I need to do.
So you're saying that lighting being connected to public transportation are two things that you use to determine where you're going to stay at. Is there anything else?
Yeah, that's just me personally. You know, I know some people that prefer to sleep in a tent. I've never done that. I've probably only done that once or twice. I know people that sleep on the sidewalk. That's me personally. Exall Park. I've slept there before because it's a pretty peaceful neighborhood. It's not really too much going on at night. Yeah, I mean, so that's pretty much what I've done.
So with Texas, we've been having some crazy weather, you know, with wind and rain. How do you prepare yourself for that? And can you tell us which weather you prefer? And can you tell us the worst memories you have for staying outside with these different type of weather?
One thing for sure is that when you're sleeping outside is that you're going to be really, really informed on what the weather is supposed to do. Since I've been homeless, I don't think that I've really had any issues at nighttime with the weather, because I'm always informed. Yeah, I hang out in Deep Ellum a lot. So I'm pretty much a staple there now because it's a bulk of what I'm doing with my entrepreneurship. That's where I operate out of. I'm just lucky to where I have a good reputation to where it's if it's raining, I can go inside a venue and just really just get a cup of coffee or some water and just like wait it out. The weather for me, though, is during the day. That's the issue during the day is because like you have to be mobile. You have to go to different places. Like, for instance, I go to the library to study or to use a computer, you know. And I'm coming from the other side of downtown where I'm just eating. And the last couple of times we've had those crazy 30 mile an hour wind gusts and rain. So that's the thing. It's like you get completely soaking wet. And now it's like, well, being homeless and I have storage, that's where I keep my clothes at. But doing simple things like doing laundry becomes a hassle because do I catch the bus with 30, 40 pounds of clothes, you know, and just haul it everywhere? Or do I go to a local place to get my my clothes washed and dried? So that becomes an issue. I just think that, you know, my worst memory of dealing with the climate, of course, getting rained on and, you know, taking hours or even days to wash those clothes. I mean, to get those clothes dried. I think that when I first started this lifestyle, I was homeless previously before 4 years ago, but I had a car and a job. You know, I was still pretty functional in society. But that happened at a time where it was really, really cold. And I think that that's something to where I've been blessed the last couple of years where I find places to live when it's really cold or somebody wants to take me in. Or 2 years ago, I was in a business internship program. But it's the cold weather that really kind of motivates you to do things that you normally wouldn't want to do because you don't want to be out there dealing with that issue. When it's hot, I take time to kind of do whatever it is I need to do to work on myself, but also make my plan of action to achieve those things when it's summertime. Because, you know, I was just really just having this talk that even though I'm homeless, you know, I do have a life. I am blessed to have a lifestyle to where a lot of people who have a home to where they have to go to a job, they have to do things that they don't like just to not be homeless. So this thing is like to live this lifestyle, you really have to have perspective and count your blessings literally. Because like I said, my situation is different. A lot of people become homeless for any reason. Some people become homeless because of a job they lost recently. Or some people become homeless because, you know, a lot of women, and I've seen this before, you know, they just had the courage to leave an abusive relationship and they're starting over literally in life. You know, we have a lot of people who are, you know, mentally ill. They can't function in society. You know, I have a severe case of bipolar and I got to the point where I can't be at a job 40 hours. I can't do it because a lot of jobs that I could qualify for, I wasn't being challenged. You know, why would you be at a job? Why would you be somewhere when you have to spend energy convincing yourself not to choke somebody, you know, because of little small slights and things that just you should be able to deal with in life.
So, do you connect that with your mental health, the short fuse of being triggered like that with your mental health?
Yeah, and my father is actually the one that told me to get checked out before I was homeless and all this. And I just thought that I had anger management issues. I started realizing that, yeah, I have some issues with bipolar.
So that brings me to my next question, which you mentioned in mental health, bipolar, and being homeless. How do you think being homeless impact your mental health diagnosis?
At first, it was a lot worse. And actually, I got officially diagnosed while being homeless. But I had always suspected it because of just getting studied. I think that if you have a mental health issue, it's inevitably going to get worse unless you have some kind of practice to help it. Just in life, you know, you're just the people that you surround yourself with. I was taught about the law of association, that you become some of the five closest people that you hang around. Even when you get out of homelessness, you can't pick and choose the type of people that you hang around. You're just living, you're doing whatever. You might not be around the most sane people. You might not be around people who can handle their emotions. Even if mental health issues were not the bulk of some of us being homeless, which I don't blame my mental health as a reason why I've been homeless. It's just my, you know, what I choose to do with my life, you know. But we all have certain deficiencies that have led to us being homeless, you know, and that's the thing that we have to be honest about. I think with how I've been able to deal with my anger and bipolar issues, that has probably been the one thing that I needed to get over to help me be able to thrive when I get back in mainstream society.
How do you feel about the Dallas Public Library and how we're trying to reach out to the community and support the individuals who are experiencing homelessness?
I really like what the library has to offer. I just think that there's really only so much you guys can do. I think that you guys, you know, help out a lot. And that's actually like a gripe that I have about the system in general, not the library, not shelters. I wouldn't have became homeless if I had known about the work pass program that C-Square has. You know, like you can get your OSHA certification, you can get hospitality, you know, TABC license. You know, you didn't know about these when you were just like trying to get a job, you know, you're 22 years old. So that's the same thing here. Like, you can come down here and learn how to play the piano. You can, mm-hmm. Learn how to do improv, right. You know, stuff like that. You know, I have a friend who was homeless. He's doing well now. He lives out in Plano, and he came down here every day. I don't know where he learned how to code, but he taught himself how to code. Now, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm on the fifth floor all the time reading, you know, I took sales training last year. Amazing sales books, amazing marketing books. So I think that with what the library does to engage people is very, very top notch. But my thing is that, and I think that I'm probably the person to who's been called to do this. My thing is that the city and the library can only do so much. I think that there needs to be a lot more cooperation and volunteering from the private sector. Like, all these companies want to move down here and they want to benefit from the amazing growth that Dallas still has available to them.
Yes.
But they don't want to contribute to making the city better. That's where the issue is. And that's why I say the library, the city, the police department, they can really only do so much. A lot of these jobs moving down here can be said to be one of the reasons why some people become homeless in the first place. Yeah, I remember when I had my first apartment, I was paying $640 for a studio. You know, that was 6-7 years ago. And I thought that was a lot then, you know.
Right.
But now that same studio costs about like $850. I looked at the average rent today and it's like $1,210, the average rent, whereas back then it was like $990 or $950 or something like that.
Right.
That's another reason why I think that me learning some of the things I have learned, and I dropped out of college to become an investor. I learned investing books and all that, and to become a business owner. And provide opportunities for others. And financial literacy is one thing that I've dedicated my life to understanding and want to teach. Now, when you really look at it, being homeless, you got to have perspective. If you're strong enough to keep your eye on the prize, being homeless, really, when you look at the alternative, what's really all that bad about it, other than potentially public safety? You know, and that just depends on, you know, how you put yourself in certain situations. Back to the work pass thing, like, if I had known about certain programs to where I can get certified to get a better job, I probably would have never quit the workforce. You know, I would have just did what everybody else told me to do, just save up my money, work two jobs, do this. But the point is that not having all that, it really is more economical to think about the fact that I was only making $10, $11, $12 an hour and wages aren't going up, but the price of rent is going up. And, you know, like, what would you rather have, you know?
Well, that's all my questions for today.
Okay.
Thank you